It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dimes is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Tom Spence. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm well. Good morning.
Morning. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll try to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all this morning. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
I could. I think I've been in here enough times. I could probably do that introduction.
Do you want to try this side?
No, I'll keep my side.
Okay.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for so many things. We give you thanks for your love. We give you thanks that you loved us while we were still sinners, while the world was still opposed to you. Lord, there's many who've not received your word, but for those of us who have, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for life and life abundant and the promise of life eternal. So Lord, thank you. And Lord, we are your people. We know we've sinned, so we confess that we've fallen short, which brings us once again to thanksgiving. We thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive. And Lord, you told us to approach your throne of grace with confidence, so we do. And confidently, we lift up so many people in need, so many people that we pray for on this program and those that are prayed for by their congregations in the many churches of this area. And we lift up all those requests. We also lift up our nation as a whole. And we pray that our nation turn to you, seek you first before anything else that we go after. And Lord, we want to be known, the whole nation. We want to be known as your followers by our love. So Lord, help us to do that. Equip us, provision us. Lord, you've already sent us out in the world. Just help us accomplish the mission, the commission that you've given us. So, Lord, be with us as we share your good news with everyone we come across. And Lord, precede us with your spirit and let the spirit dwell on the people and let them turn to you. Let them repent of evil ways or the ways of the world and come seeking you and proclaiming Jesus as Lord. All this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning.
Oh, well.
Our Own Understanding.
Yeah, and we're not going to start in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, though most of you know where that comes from. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, lean not on your own understanding. Quite the dichotomy. But we're going to look at Genesis today. We're going to go back to the beginning of the story, and we might see the roots of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in there. And I'm going to talk mostly from chapter 3. But if for those of you who've read Genesis, and I'm sure many listeners have read it many times, in chapter 1 you get the 6 days. The seventh day gets bumped to chapter 2 where God rested, but it's basically one account that was probably came out of the northern kingdom of Israel. That's the way the people remembered it. It probably didn't actually get put into writing until the Babylonian captivity and Ezra the scribe put it into writing. And then you get to chapter 2 and it's another creation account. And sometimes you read them and say, why does it say this here and that here? Probably because the one in chapter 2 came out of the southern kingdom, out of Judah. And you say, well, how do they know that? Well, if you look in the first account, God is most often referred to as Elohim. And in the second account, more often as Yahweh and Jehovah. Okay, but that's the way people remember these things. And imagine this. They remembered and told them orally for centuries. Okay, you will tell me something this morning, and I'll forget it before I get out the door. Okay, now, I may remember it at 2 in the morning, but I'm probably not going to get up and go do it at 2 in the morning. But it's, you know, can you imagine remembering all these stories in the Bible that were passed down from generation to generation? But finally, when they got the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, got carted off to Babylon, taking in about three trips to get them there. The ones that had some value, they left some people behind. But get there, and Ezra the scribe, and there were other scribes. I think what came about was they were thinking this could be the end of our story. You know, God delivered us from Egypt, but now here we are captives and slaves again. We better write down what we know from the Torah. And parts of the Torah were written down because God told Moses, write this down. And so I'm pretty sure Moses did what he was told. But other parts, I mean, were written as prophecy, and some of it was in writing, some of it wasn't. But I think Genesis probably wasn't put into writing until the 6th or 7th century B.C. in there. And there's two different creation accounts. And instead of trying to merge them into one, the scribes just said, we've got two accounts. Let's just write them one after the other. And so you get 6 days in chapter one. In chapter two, it kind of picks up around the third day with vegetation and stuff. And you get a more extensive account of Adam and Eve in the second chapter, the whole deal with Eve being made out of Adam's rib, and you know, the mandatory joke, what can I get for a rib? I mean, everyone knows that one. You got to tell that. But the fact that in chapter two we are made of the earth like the other animals, but we also have God's breath breathed into us. In the first chapter, we're made in the image and likeness of God, male and female alike. So you take these two accounts and just say this makes a fuller account. And I think the scribes were wise just to put both accounts in there as people had remembered them. But it's good. And in chapter two, we see things that we're going to see in chapter three, like God giving Adam all these trees to eat. And the fruit was pleasing to the eye, and it was good for food. Okay, we're going to see that again once the serpent comes into chapter three. But the story takes a big twist, as most people who've read Genesis know, once we get to chapter 3. So that's what we're going to look at mostly today. We may jump back and forth a little. But, you know, the other day someone asked me what I was going to do for the fall. And, of course, I thought they meant the fall of civilization. So I told them how much ammunition and toilet paper I'd stored up. But they were talking about fall as a season. And it's like, okay, well, fall doesn't, I don't change much in the fall in Oklahoma, and still walk to my office in the morning most days, and I don't do pumpkin spice. I'm not putting it in my coffee. Fall's not a big deal. Until winter's coming and I can't walk to my office, it doesn't change much. But in chapter 3, many of your Bibles label this chapter the fall of man, the fall of mankind, the fall of humankind, subtitled Sin Entered the World, and those things. And so that's what we're going to look at mostly today. And here's the truncated version. Here's the shortened version of the story. God asked Adam if he ate from the tree that was off limits. Adam said, the woman that you put here gave me the fruit and I ate it. And the woman said, the serpent tricked me. And the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. Okay, there's the short version that you can tell. It's pretty close, even though it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But as we begin this chapter, it begins with enter the snake, enter the serpent. We don't know if it entered stage left or stage right, but it is surely center stage at the beginning of chapter 3. And it was not just a serpent, it was crafty, skilled in argument, deception. It talked. Okay, we can't imagine that today. You know, a talking serpent is like, okay, is this a cartoon movie or what is it? But evidently, if you read the whole chapter, the serpent's not on his belly till the end of the chapter, and that's where God puts him. But I would say must have been an attractive creature because it could strike up a conversation with Eve, and she was willing to have this conversation. Today, most ladies, if there's a snake coming up towards them, they're going to run or cut its head off or do something like that or call their husband and say, there's a snake in here. We had a snake in our house, three or four months ago, a little green snake, and I tried to grab it and get it thrown out in the yard because I didn't think it was dangerous at all, but it slithered under our treadmill. It's like, I'm not going to try to move that treadmill and chase a snake. So it either died in our house or it got a way out. I don't know. But today, most people that see a snake think, I'm going to kill that sucker. I mean, I don't want to deal with it. But here's a snake, and Eve's willing to talk to it. So it has to be a little bit different than we envision a snake or a serpent today. And but it struck up a conversation, and there was no chit-chat. It got right to the point, and the serpent said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Well, maybe the serpent knew what God had said to Adam. We don't know. Maybe it was a conversation between Adam and Eve. What are we going to have for dinner tonight? It must have come up somewhere. But somehow the serpent knew the one thing that God said, you can't do this. It apparently also knew that God had told Adam he could eat from any tree in the garden except this one. So the serpent's kind of using words that God had used. You can eat from any tree, but he just left out the one exception that, God gave him. He skipped over the single exception. But the snake did not say, go ahead and eat it. It's okay. He didn't say no. It's fine, not a problem. God didn't say that. He asked Eve. He invited Eve to think about what God said. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The thought, the idea, the doubt were not placed into Eve's mind. They were enticed out of her mind. Look at the question. Did God say that? Did God really say that? It's a question. Okay? The answer should have been, yeah, we can eat from any tree except that one, and that's the end of the story. They just, okay, end of conversation, hit the road, Jack, I'm not talking to you anymore. But that's not the way it went. Evidently, the woman chose to continue the conversation with the serpent. There was something interesting, something inviting about this conversation. And so the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Okay, we need to remember that that instruction was not given by God to Eve. It was given by God to Adam while Eve was still a rib. Okay, Eve wasn't around yet. Now, it's probably a good thing that Adam shared it with her, because Eve is like 50% of the people in the story. So if only Adam knew, Eve would be innocent of this. But obviously, Eve knew as well. So we don't know when Adam told her or what. But somehow, there's an extra prohibition thrown in. It says, not only may you not eat, but now you can't touch it. Well, where did that come from? That wasn't from God, so I don't know where it came from. Did Adam add that part? Did Eve say, oh, we better put some safeguards in there? I wonder if these two wrote the first OSHA manual and they said, yeah, let's come up with some rules. I like to say they might have been the first two Pharisees on the planet. They took God's prohibitions, this prohibitive instruction, this command, and they added their own commands to it. We don't know. But anyway, Eve said, we can't eat from it, and we can't even touch it. So the serpent says, did God really say that? That's the challenge. It's not like God didn't say that. It's, did God really say that? The serpent is inviting Eve to think about these things and let her, here's the term, own understanding kind of take over and see what happens. Direct answer should have been, said, God said we can't eat from that tree. That's it. We can't eat from that tree or we'll die. Done deal. No discussion. But the conversation did continue. And the serpent said, but surely you won't die. He didn't say you won't die. He said, surely you won't die. It's a question in a statement or a statement in a question. The serpent's challenging Eve to think about this. Would you really die? I mean, would you really die? Okay, now we need to remember, here's some things about language. The sender of a message can only imply. It's the receiver that infers. So Eve is inferring a lot of things here that, you know, the snake's crafty. The snake knows what questions to ask to get Eve to look at her own understanding and figure this out for herself. I think an aside here, and for those who studied Shakespeare and other old plays like that, an aside here for Eve would have been great. For Eve to turn to eternity, everyone reading since then, and say, well, would I really die? Say the things running through her mind. What is death? I mean, neither Adam or Eve knew what death was. Why am I even standing near this tree that God said don't eat from? Okay. Should I not trust the Lord more than my own understanding? That's what she should have been thinking. But the serpent continued, for God knows that when you eat... Someone should have turned their phone off. And I'm usually the one that gets to remind everyone to turn their phone off. But I got here too early this morning and started doing other things. Serpent continued, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You know, as much as we don't like the serpent in this story, I mean, we want to just blame everything on the serpent. What the serpent said was accurate. If you eat from the fruit, it will open your eyes. You will know the difference between good and evil. And so here in this third chapter in Genesis, very early in the history that we have, our biblical accounts, we see the intersection of trust and obedience with our own understanding. Do I trust and obey, or do I rely on my own understanding? Okay, here's what it says. It says, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. The PowerPoint slide for this looks like three bullets. It was good for food. It was pleasing to the eye. Had the added benefit of gaining wisdom, called the tree of knowledge, but Eve equates that to wisdom. I mean, they're cousins, I'm sure. But the first two, remember, good for food, pleasing the eye, they were characteristics of all the other trees that they'd been given to eat. God said, here's your trees. They look pretty. They're tasty. That's your food, except that one. Okay, well, this one, it met the same criteria as every other tree out there, but it had the added benefit. I might gain wisdom. And so Eve's mulling these things around in her mind, and also in there, it's not mentioned at this point yet, it's like, that'd be more like God. It'd be more like God. Now, in 2022, had someone posted this as a commercial for Eve's bullets of, you know, pleasing the eye, good for food, gain more wisdom, you'd also have to list the side effects. You know, it's a 15-minute commercial for the drug, 2 minutes of side effects. Well, what would the side effects be? Well, how about you and the serpent will be eternal enemies. Women will have real pain in childbirth. Your husband will rule over you. The man must work to produce food now. There'll be thorns and thistles among your crops. You're going to work your whole life, and at the end of your life, you're just going to decompose and go back to the dirt that you came from. And oh, by the way, you'll get evicted from paradise. Okay, that wasn't in the initial instruction, but we know if there was a commercial today, all those things would be in there because that's what was coming. Oh, but what was there? Just the prohibitive command from God. Don't eat from that tree. Don't do this. Well, Eve ate the fruit after making her analysis, ate the fruit from the tree. Then she gave some to Adam and he ate it. And did y'all catch the part of Adam, how he analyzed everything? It says Eve gave the fruit to Adam and he ate it. It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, it's like, we get all this analysis from Eve, and it's like, okay, that's what she got for dinner. I guess I'm going to eat it. And Adam just eats it. But, I mean, it's, yeah, the woman, we get to see her thought process. Adam might have had a thought process. We don't know. You've seen the little memes where the man's train of thought is one railroad track, and the woman's is like 14 crossed over. Well, we get all of Eve's thoughts, and Adam just, okay, I guess that's what we're having for supper. And he just ate it. He didn't, we don't get to see his thought process. Okay, so we get up to this point and enter the Lord God into the garden in the cool of the days, walking along. It's got to be something to think about. You know, back in paradise, God's walking in paradise, cool of the day, and Adam and Eve are hiding. Because when they ate from the fruit, their eyes were opened. They knew good and evil. And evidently, they didn't know they were naked before. It was just kind of, okay, this is just the way we made it. God made us. He made us naked. We walk around the garden, no big deal. But once they eat of the fruit, they look like, maybe we're not supposed to be. So they make some makeshift clothes out of leaves, and then they hear God coming, and they hide from him. Humankind's first reaction to disobeying God is to hide from God. Okay, if you go all the way to Hebrews, we're told nothing is hidden from God. So I like to say God kind of plays along here. God's going along and says, where are you? And God's like, okay, I think God knew where they were. But this, it makes for the story to move along. I like to say God was there and he yelled out, Marco, and Adam went, Polo. And then he's going, oh, man, I can't believe I fell for that. But they have no experience at hiding from God. This is their first time. And they don't really know what to do. You know, they've done something that, you know, they've never realized good and evil before. Now they've done something to think, I don't know if this was right or not. We disobeyed God for sure. What are we doing? Let's hide. But they can't really hide. They got no practice at hiding. Now, in 2022, we have a lot more practice at hiding from God. All of us have tried to hide things from God. All of us who know a lot about the Bible and understand what the Bible says and believe what it says, sometimes we still try to hide stuff from God, even though we can't do it. The only person that we gets fooled in this is ourselves. We can fool ourselves. But the first people, they tried to hide from God. They had disobeyed him. They tried to hide. In their own understanding, Adam and Eve thought they could hide from God. They, you know, they've been a great relationship so far. You know, here they are, and they don't really have to work. They just go pick fruit and tend the garden, which probably means if there's extra fruit, you know, they put it in the compost pile. That's about it. And it's a garden you're working in, and they didn't have to plant it. God planted the garden for them. It's a great job, but now they've actually disobeyed God. And now they have to wrestle with, what do I do? Their first choice in their own understanding is, we better hide. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" And I love Adam's reply. I mean, I just love it. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. The woman that you put," this is Adam talking, "the woman you put here gave me that fruit." Yeah, the woman you gave me, she's the one that gave me the fruit from the tree. We couldn't, the woman that you put here. I mean, this is men, their first attempt at, you know, covering something up, justifying what they did. The woman you put here. Yeah, I wouldn't have done this if you didn't put that woman here. But that's, you know, it's kind of fun to read it that way. And I think maybe there's a little humor intended in the story about the absurdity of trying to make excuses before God. Yeah, I'll blame this one on you, God. Okay, that's what I was wrong. But Adam must have thought he was getting off easy because God turned his attention to Eve. And Eve said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." She said, "The serpent tricked me." Now remember that Eve went through some analysis, her own analysis. It's good for food. It's pleasing to the eye. It has the added benefit of gaining wisdom. But when she rationalized what she did when she answered to God, I mean, that was like, okay, I'm going to forget that I went through that whole analysis there. And this is, at this point, I'd like to see an aside in there for God just to turn to all eternity and say, okay, that right there, that dog don't hunt. Okay, making up excuses, you know, rationalizing what you did when you're standing before God. And it's like, I know what you did. You know, that he can't do that. But oh, here's the executive summary that I started with. I'll give it to you again. God asked Adam if he ate from the tree that was off limits. Adam said, "The woman you put here gave me the fruit." The woman said, "The serpent tricked me." And the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on, or at least by the end of the chapter, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. The chapter is sometimes titled The Fall of Man, The Fall of Mankind, The Fall of Humankind. Some subtitles say Sin Entered the World. But we should consider that our earthly nature, that part that came out of the earth, it was already there. We were already thinking about things on our own. We're already using our own understanding. So I would title this Sin Manifests Itself. Okay, our nature that could bring about sin, it was already there. We're made of the earth and we're made of God. Okay, and that earthly part was wrestling with us already. Maybe mankind chose its own understanding over God. That's how I'd title this chapter. Humankind chose its own understanding over what God said. They only had one rule. They had one, "Thou shalt not." Now God gave them other things to do. Go multiply, you know, fill the earth, subdue the earth, bring it under your control, be good stewards, those sort of things. But one prohibitive command, don't eat that tree. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. They'd even gone so far as to add extra. Don't even touch it. So you got to wonder, why is even Eve even near the tree talking to the serpent? They should have been out at the avocado tree or something, saying, "That's what we're having for supper." But you know, it's, you know, we are of the earth and we are of God. And when I went through chapter 2 and I talked to people, I said, we need to understand we are unique among all the creatures of the earth. God made us special. We're of the earth and we're of God. We're made in his image and likeness, but we're still of the earth. Okay, so we have this own, our own understanding that we get to wrestle with. Our nature that comes from being made of the earth, it knows how to appeal to us. Okay, Eve's own nature analyzed what was going on. It was good for food, pleasing the eye, gain some wisdom. Could be more like God. That would be okay. Yeah, I think that's a good thing, right? The words free will are never used in Genesis. In fact, I'd challenge anyone to find them anywhere in your Bible other than in the commentaries. Okay, but we get to see human will exercised here and choosing their own understanding over what God said. God said, don't do this. But Eve reasoned her way to where, I think it's okay. You know, being more like God, surely that's got to be a good thing. Knowing things that only God knows, that'd be good, and it's good to eat. Looks pretty. I mean, why not? Her own understanding wrestled with what God had to say. And we get to see what we call free will. I mean, I challenge anyone to go through your Bibles that have a bona fide translation. And I don't think you're going to find the terms free will with regard. But that's what it is. God made us with the ability to choose. And what I'm telling you is, y'all might be too young for this. I don't know. I don't know who's listening. Eve nor Adam, neither one of them, could use the Flip Wilson defense. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Okay, the devil's out there. He's for real. evil's out there. Evil's for real. But we make our own choices. When we are presented and something tempts us, we get to choose. And sometimes we choose our own understanding. Why? We understand it. It's our own understanding. We understand it. It makes sense to us. But we should understand that whatever God tells us, God is the one who has good plans for us. We understand what our human nature tells us to understand, but it is God who has good plans for us. And that's what we need to remind ourselves every time we think, yeah, this kind of makes sense. I'm not sure about what God's telling me. We need to remind ourselves God's the one who has good plans for us. So maybe I should set aside my own understanding, which comes from a finite mind, and accept that God's ways are higher than mine, his thoughts higher than mine. We do have the mind of Christ. Jesus did show us how to live. Okay, but if what I'm thinking, if what I'm understanding is in conflict with what God is telling me to do, and when I say that, I'm talking the full biblical witness. Just don't pick one or two verses and say, this is it, because we have this full witness that goes from the Alpha to the Omega here, beginning to end, and we need to understand everything that God's communicated to us. We need to pray and listen. We have a teachable spirit. Okay, we don't want to just, okay, well, I found this one verse, and that's it. Okay, I'm going to ignore the rest. No. If God has told us something, I'm going to say, take the full biblical witness, because a lot of people just pick one verse, and they kind of just ignore the rest of it. Listen to everything God's got to say to you, and if it disagrees with what your own understanding says, you need to remind yourself, God is the one who has good plans. Those plans will prosper me. They're give me hope in the future. I mean, they're not bad plans. So why would I not listen to God? Well, I can't see it in front of me. I can't understand it right now. That's the proverb, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With your heart, lean not on your own understanding. But I'm going to tell you, it's a real wrestling match, even for mature Christians. Now, I think it gets easier the more we practice trusting God. But that human nature, well, it'll just rear its ugly head again and again and say, okay, you figured this one out already. No need to consult God. You got it figured out. And a lot of times we do have things figured out. But do they agree with what God said? If they agree what God said, go for it. Okay, God did give us a sound mind. We're supposed to think. And those are things that we're supposed to do. But if it disagrees with what God said, it'd be a good time to call a timeout and say, before I do anything, I better stick my nose back in the Bible. I better start praying some more. Think back to Nehemiah when the king said, you got message from Jerusalem. What do you want to do? Well, Nehemiah thought, I probably need to go back and help. But first he stopped and prayed. Here's the king waiting on the answer. And Nehemiah says, I'm going to pray first. Imagine that. Nehemiah is not a high-ranking guy. He's a cupbearer. He's a food tester. He makes sure that no one poisons the king, the emperor there. And it's like, I got to pray. Okay. Nehemiah said, I'm calling time out before I give you an answer there, king. Now, the answer was he needed to go back and help rebuild Jerusalem and do the things that we've read in the history there. But he said, I need to consult God. He didn't have a Bible with 66 chapters in it. It was all tabbed. Okay. In fact, most of what's written down now, he didn't have written down. But he said, I got to talk to God. I got to see what God tells me to do. And we can do the same. We have this full witness here in the Bible, and we can still pray and we can still listen. I often use the term teachable spirit. We should be ready for God to teach us. Okay. But when what we understand is in conflict with what God's telling us to do, that's not the time to choose our own understanding. It would be nice if we just did exactly what God said. But sometimes we need to stop and pray and ask God to affirm that we're reading the right thing, that we're understanding it correctly. But the thing we don't want to do is just, okay, I got this. I figured it out. My own understanding says this is what I should do. And then the next thing you know, how did I get here from there? It's like, well, I stopped listening to God. Or maybe I listened to him, but I thought, yeah, maybe God's busy. He didn't understand what he was doing. Yeah, God's the one who has good plans for us. So when we have that dichotomy, well, that choice between what God said and what we understand, if they're in conflict, we've got to teach ourselves and train ourselves and practice, put into practice doing what God said. It's a tough thing sometimes. Are we at halftime?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll stop then for a moment.
Okay. So now's a good time then.